You are listening to a production of the Toll Network, home of biting analysis. This is Laser Knees, episode 11. Thank goodness Leo's not a misogynist in this one.
Only a little bit.
Oh, I forgot, yeah.
We forgot to title this episode. We forgot to title this episode, so, y'all know it. Y'all know it before we do, I guess.
Yeah. I was just trying to cook up a friend's one real fast, but I can't. The one with all the lying. That's what it'll be called.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was either that or I was going to say we should do a Breaking Bad reference.
I'm Amit, the heart-snacking critic, Duot Pink.
And I'm Sono, the hungry critic, Duot Green.
Putting heroes on trial. Critical Squadron. Duot Ranger.
Join us as we start, or continue, on this wild ride through Dobit Sentai Juojur. Can Yamato lead his human friends through an adventure to save the human world from the Death Galleon? Find out how we think he's doing with that as we share our thoughts on Dobit Sentai Juojur, Episode 14, Lying Thief Idiot Type. Which is still a weird title. Our writer is Arakawa Naruhisa. Our episode director is Kato Hiroyuki. We've covered them both already, so we'll move right into our instincts and overall thoughts on the episode. And speaking of Arakawa, he really kind of worked his magic on this one. Like, this was a gag villain episode, like a character development episode, and it still really had a lot of like strong emotional stuff. There's kind of a lesson in there somewhere about not cutting corners and, you know, doing what's right over doing things for personal gain, which I think is in there, but I am not totally on board with given the means. But also just don't blackmail and manipulate people who are in desperate situations, because that's awful and makes you a jerk.
That is, yeah.
I really feel
note for the kids. Don't do that.
Don't do that, ever.
It'll like, work, but don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel for Fua and Marin. I hope late in the series, you know, last couple of episodes, we get to see them again, and, you know, Marin's had her surgery through the magic of being a good person in a Sentai show. And, you know, they show up to see Amu off when she and the others go back to Zooland.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be a really good way to end things. I have mixed feelings about this episode. I love seeing the righteous anger over U-Thief using Fua. I liked Amu making the moral argument for Fua to not use ill-gotten gains and, like, to release them and let them fight and stuff. I think Amu came off really well and had a lot of good focus here, but it also felt incomplete. Was there something missing from her backstory that they had wanted to include? I also don't think the moral of being honest was well enforced here. U-Thief gets as far as he does by lying. It is very helpful to him, and it's very helpful to many people if they will only utilize it, but, you know, not good. So anyway, I don't know. And then, like, Fuwa leaves the Juojur's kind of bitter as he goes to return the money, and it felt off. Like, I get not wanting to give up that money, but it just seemed weird.
Yeah, I had a lot of that conflict myself, because it's like, you know, first off, you've got the thing where it's, you know, it gives U-Thief, or whatever his actual name was, thanks Overtime for turning that into something that made sense and was easy to pronounce for an English speaker, but, like, it concedes the point of, yeah, you know, the bad guys just have more power, which is just like, a thing I've begun to sort of bristle against, because it's not always true, but lying is a heck of a power, because it is the power over reality, after a fashion. But, like, all I could think this whole episode is just that Arakawa is big on the idea of, like, socialized or single-payer medicine as a good idea, or is a big fan of, like, Breaking Bad, or if there's a Japanese equivalent thereof, of that show, because the entire moral conflict of this episode is gone. Just snap. Gone. Away. If it's like, oh no, she'll get care. She just might have to wait, or you know, she's on a list. It just, boom, the whole problem with the episode is gone. But, you know, it is nice, though, to see a thing about, like, hey, kids, don't lie. Monsters lie, like, in a monstrous way. And it even gets to that thing that I did when I was a kid, and, like, every little kid I've ever met does, where it's like, it's not lying, it's tricking. Ha-ha! It's like, nah, it's lying, too. Kid, just... He's playing tricks. It's not funny, and everyone's miserable because of it. So keep that in mind. This was a weird one. Yeah.
I was gonna say, you know, if you hide under the table and nobody sees you doing it, it doesn't really count, right?
Yeah,
of course not.
Okay, so what got our hackles up in this episode?
I really hoped that we'd learn a little about Amu's home life the way we had with Sela, Leo, and Tusk. But there was nothing really concrete. She makes this comment about how well Fua and Marin get along. And she's like, oh man, that's nice to see. And I feel like they're hinting at her having this older brother that she just really doesn't get along with for one reason or another. But they never actually went into it. They didn't do anything with that, and I'm a little disappointed.
I'm sorry, everybody, but I did my notes totally independently, and I'm kind of going to say the same thing, so here we go. I was expecting to learn something about Amu's family because she seemed so touched by siblings who showed great care for each other, but it wasn't there. I wish Amu had vowed to help out Fua a bit. I don't know if that's unreasonable, but it would have been nice. She doesn't really have bills to pay, except for maybe food, but it seems like she's having Yamato do that for her. But, you know, like, she could get a job, and it would be interesting to see that, like, move her as a character. I keep thinking about Joey Wheeler in Yu-Gi-Oh!, you know, playing cards for her sister so she can get her operation. And then again, like... the ending felt a little unfinished, and I felt like there was something more they wanted to say but didn't.
Yeah, because that ending was bleak. Hey, best of luck getting the money you need to make it so your sister doesn't die horribly of a curable disease that you just can't afford the cure for. Like, whew, I'm glad the animal at the end of the episode was penguins, because I needed something really adorable after that. Because, like, again, like Sona was saying, like, I want to see Fua and his sister again later on. So, because I'm going to be a little low-key worried about them, just like, what was the name of the guy? Daigo. Like, I want to know how he's doing. Is he a session guitarist now? What's up? go on.
So, I
worry about these kids.
A session guitarist.
Yeah, look, he's an interesting character. I liked him, and... you know, that was, like, the one time I'm like, okay, Leo, you're cool.
No, and he was good. I'm just gonna wax Persona for a second here.
Go for it.
Like, I think it'd be pretty boss if all the humans made, like, a really tight connection with somebody or, like, groups of people. And, like, who mentioned them being seen off at the end of the series?
I did. That was in my overall thing. Like, okay. I want the two of them to just show up, like... maybe, like, towards the end, there's an episode where Amu's like, but I like it here, and I kind of want to stay here. And, like, she runs into them after, you know, Marin's come back from her operation, and she's doing well.
That'd be nice.
And, you know, then it's maybe like, oh, but you have your family at home. You need to go make sure they're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be so cool. And, like, Persona 4 ends very much like that. Everyone's all upset because the hero's going to leave, and, like, it's really cool, and I'd like to see that happen here.
Yeah,
it's been done before, but it'd be nice, because, like, it just shows that interconnectivity, and that humans, animals, or humans and animals, there's not that much difference, and we should all be connected. And, like, yeah. I feel like that would really thematically reinforce that.
I definitely have to agree. Like, my next hackle was, like, I was just kind of mad at this idea that Amu, who's always kind of struck me as the more devil-may-care when it comes to other people's money and comfort, wouldn't bust out with, like, look, yes, it'll bum your sister out if she finds out you got the money this way, so I will never tell her. None of us will tell her ever. You do what you gotta do, dude. And then he could still have his face turn and, you know, give the money to the cops or do the right thing. And I know that would give a bad message about how it's cool to steal if you really need it. Which is probably not exactly the thing they want to do in a kid's show, but on the other hand, like, his sister is dying. Like, oh, she'll be sad if she finds out where the money comes from. Yeah, she'll also be alive. look, I'm not saying that it's acceptable or it's a thing that we should encourage, but if it's, I will feel guilty for the rest of my life and my sister will actually be dead, literally dead, no comeback from the grave, she'll be dead. I'm not saying it's the right thing, I'm saying I get it.
I mean, I get it, and I mean, I've seen this sort of thing done before. And it always kind of turns out this way. But, like, I get it. And, I mean, I think Am was like, okay, but that, like, I can use Yamato's money because that's his money that is legitimately his and he needs to take care of us or yeah. We will die. Whereas this is a bunch of money that was stolen from other people who may need it to survive.
True. But it's also going to someone who would need to survive and then that money would, you know, economic stuff, but yeah, it's one of those things where it's...
Aelif, I'm sorry, I don't think you have the right to say trickle down.
No, look, I know that's... It's contributing back to the economy, and yes, I know I don't have the right to say trickle down. I'm not a big fan of it, but I'm just saying...
I can say
look,
trickle down, but you can't say trickle down.
If it's between literal death and possible inconvenience for a lot of other people, I don't know what the banking insurance thing looks like in Japan.
Right.
Because, like, maybe they don't have an FDIC. I don't actually know. Hmm. If they've got an FDIC, then, like, look.
The thing is, like, it would look kind of suspicious if he just walked in with a bunch of cash, though.
Yeah.
After a bank was recently robbed.
Look, I'm saying if it's between your sister dying horribly of a terrible disease that is curable, but you can't afford the cure... I'm not saying it'd be necessarily the right thing. I'm saying I get it.
I'm just saying, if he just went in and paid for everything, like, immediately after a bank was robbed, I feel like that would not go towards her getting the cure, and that would go towards him getting arrested and not being able to save up to get her the cure.
Can he save up to get... Like, I don't know what he gets paid.
Now, see, I think he's a clever enough guy that he would have figured out a way to launder that money. I mean...
Yeah, exactly.
He looks a tiny bit shady. I bet he knows somebody who went Yakuza and he could just have them help him out. And everything would be fine.
I bet he could, like, if he just finds some Yakuzas, like, look, guys, if you can get me 400 of this clean... Take it, you know, that's pure profit for you.
Look, I know I may have sounded crazy and, like, inhumane a couple moments ago,
but,
like...
No, you're not being crazy or inhumane. You know, this is what the show is saying. Like, it is a thing, like, you should not steal from people to get money.
But
and at the same time, I get it.
I mean, like, I can 100% understand the decision he made. I just don't think it would have worked for him if he did, like, keep the money.
Yeah, it very well may not have. And I think maybe Aelis' point about Arakawa being in... Sorry, it sounds like a chicken, Arakana. It's a breed of chicken, folks. They make blue-green eggs, for your information. Anyway, they are probably featured in the Amazons, because I heard there are chicken tenders in that show.
There are chickens.
That sounded really funny. Chicken tenders. People who tend to chickens, not chicken tenders, the food. I'm so sorry. God. I just want to go to sleep. Maybe Arakawa is pro-single payer, because if there's a society where someone needs to steal or feels compelled to do that as opposed to wait until their relative dies to get money for something, for a cure, then maybe that's a failing of the society, and the society needs to take care of people like that. But if you have a little more to say, and we want to make this a quicker show, so we shouldn't go on this for too much longer.
I'm pretty much done here. Yeah, I made my point. We're just going to spin at this point, because the show clearly made its point. I made mine. We can move on. But yeah, I think the last thing is, like, I too would have liked to have learned a bit more about Amu. Like, she's ostensibly at the center of this episode, but kind of feels like the Death Galleon and Fua kind of take up most of the episode. You know, which it sort of makes our heroes incidental to the story, except that they're the ones who solve the problem and act as Fua's conscience, which is cool, but also feels kind of weirdly not exactly in character for how I read Amu, but that's just how I read her, so... You know, I'm glad she's acting as conscience. I just, like you guys were saying, I would have liked to have learned more about her and her life and where she's coming from.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and turn the tides and talk about stuff that we enjoyed in this episode.
Narya got to do more than literally nothing. And it was kind of badass. I mean, I guess this thief guy was just too much even for her. Where she's like, you know what? No. Let me explain this slowly so you can understand. And it did kind of subtly show that Narya is just as strong and cunning as everyone else in the room. And I hope it's hinting at the fact that she's going to get to do things with that in the near future.
Wouldn't that be nice?
This episode was much, much better to Amu than the last one was to Leo. And also that now everyone knows not to ever let Leo near any women. Ever. Amu was just really sweet, and I'd love to see her get more episodes where she gets to show off, like, her good side instead of just spending a lot of Yamato's money and, you know, bothering Tusk. I like there being more to her. And just the moment when Amu snaps, when Yuthief's like, oh yeah, I was never gonna give him the money anyway. And Amu's just like, okay, you know what? Not having any of that today. Like, I'm just really glad to see that in Amu, who's been pretty passive about everything up until now. Like, she engages in fights, and I know she's kind of got it in her, but to see her really, like, get attached to someone and feel deeply about something and get angry because, so, you know, people she cared for were being exploited was really nice.
That's very true. I would just like to make a public thanks to Sona because I had, like, totally screwed up this section of the notes and pasted something in the wrong area, and, you know, you kept me on the right track, so
I'm just,
I appreciate,
you know,
that.
trying to keep us going.
Okay. Amu is so upset that she can't have cake, because of the Death Galleon in the beginning of the episode, and her inner monologue reaction was, like, it was hilarious. If it wasn't actually hilarious, it was very close to it. I know I chuckled for sure. But anyway, it was good. I felt like Amu called me out for being pedantic, because she was like, who cares what this thing is called, you nerds? And, like, just kept rolling through the episode. And I was like, hey, I feel personally offended, but I kind of like that. I sure hope Common Apple King Shaming doesn't listen to me, because then I'm sure I'll get spammed with, like, oh, so you like humiliation, huh? which I totally don't, okay? Just let's not talk about this. I'm moving on.
Hey, you brought it up.
Hey, I just...
You brought it up and kept going with it. Neither of us said a thing.
I think of all the worst possible scenarios, and then they just kind of flow out of my mind.
You are a person on the internet. That's a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Remembering Leo is a lech was good, especially how it was framed. I just love that. Oh, can I go? No. And she can.
No, Leo.
I basically just like Amu steamrolling over stuff in the show. It's great. Sorry, I was getting distracted and talked about what a great... actor, Elaine's actor is, and I was gonna say, I think this, lady playing Amu has, like, at least a very good comedic delivery, and maybe she's a great actress overall, so.
She's got some chops, and I'd love to see more out of Amu to kind of get more of that.
Just, I'm really, like, hoping...
Okay, I don't know what I'm saying.
I really hope seeds were planted here, and it'll all be expanded upon later, when they feel more like it. The relationship between Fu and Marin is destroying me, and I love every bit of it. It's just great stuff. Let's see. Amu was taking point in this episode so much that they even had her at the front of the lineup when they transformed. And I don't remember that happening with, like, Tusk or Leo in the last episodes. So I thought that was really cool.
She also got to be at the center of the group attack.
Oh, I did not notice that. That's cool. The song when they destroyed Little U-Thief before he threw or grew was like a really good song. Used to sound good to me. And my last point is I love how much attitude Narya had this episode. I do not know why I cannot talk.
Well, I got to agree, because it was just great to see Narya doing a thing. She had a personality. It was great. She, like, okay, it was really frustrating. She's like, look, you make a nice show for Guinness, and we'll all be happy, okay? You have stealth powers. Use them. Get out there. Like, I really
want
to see
her. And she need them in the gut, too, to get the point across.
Yeah!
I really want to see her, you know, take that away from, you know, just bring that to the fore so maybe the bad guys will have some character. Because Guinness, the fake Roman Emperor, is like, okay, I get it, dude. Do a thing. Come on. But yeah, and that really made the bad guy side of the episode kind of fun for one of the first times. And getting to see Amu do stuff, also nice. Again, setting up a lot of things I really would like to see pay off. And finally, like, there were some clever uses of everyone's sense powers when dude was sneaking around invisible. And a lot of the action during that bank robbing scene, that was really well staged. It was really kinetic. I really just was like, wow, okay.
The jumping over the counters was really nice.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it was just like, ooh, exciting.
I did also think at that time, they should do more, like, in-office building fights.
Yeah.
'Cause that creates a lot of interest. It'd be like Die Hard, you know? Like, that's good stuff.
Man, there was that episode of Tokuger that was basically The Raid, which is basically Die Hard, but, you know, with like, kicks instead of machine guns.
Huh.
And without Christmas.
Well, it's not Die Hard without Christmas.
Yeah, okay, so it's not exactly Die Hard, but
only for the first few.
Right. But I was going to say, actually, it's not Christmas without Die Hard.
That's what I'm
a friend of mine has written a very long, very convincing post on that.
You'll have to link me to that, because I would love to read that.
It goes around usually around every Christmas. It's some good stuff.
Okay, so evolutions. What do we see happening in the future of the show?
Again, just hopefully some more exposition on Amu. I'm really curious about her home life. We know a little something about everyone except for her. Like, we know nothing. Even with Leo, we just know, like, okay, well, he competes in martial arts tournaments in his spare time. Like, that's more than we know about Amu.
And is basically an MRA.
Yeah, well.
Look, those are two character traits.
That's true.
I'm not sure if Leo's quite that bad.
Let's see. I think Narya will continue to get more lines and little bits with the up and coming Death Galleon. Like, that'd be pretty great if she coached more of them.
I think just for me, it's I really want Narya to just straight up punch Guinness in the face. Because look, if he's getting bored of this thing, like, how am I supposed to have fun if the main villain is like, ugh, this is really exhausting and boring. Like, come on, just have Narya come in, she can take over, she has some stuff to say, she can have some fun. Like,
yeah.
She wouldn't be like, I'm just gonna sit back here, entertain me while I swirl my cognac in my glass. No, she'd be like, no, I'm just gonna go down there and, okay, you know those Zhuozhi guys? Yeah, they're really annoying, they kill all my fun. Yeah, okay, how about I kill them? That would be really amusing. Shut up. I've had it up to here with your amusing. Yeah, you're really distracted and highborn. Yeah. I'm gonna go and actually do a thing and have fun and bring some character to these bad guys who so desperately need it. Okay, I'm just gonna take off my mask. I'll turn out to be the lady who played Witch Bandora brought back from the dead to save Sentai. It'll be great.
Wow.
Please give us an out-of-suit lady villain soon.
Yeah. She just takes it off. It's her. She's back. How? I don't know. It doesn't matter. She's just like, look, you guys have been just a bunch of jokers. I'm an evil space witch now. Narya, you were never an evil space witch. I'm an evil space witch now. Who's going to say something against it? I would actually like to raise some questions, objections. Crack! Now you've been killed by lightning.
Anyone else?
No?
I mean, just bring back Ayame Misaki. Give her a role that isn't, you know, ruined by having to rewrite the show 8 times. Escape.
Oh, yeah. She has mad charisma.
She is really good in Cutie Honey the Live. She's in that, and she does very well. I follow her on Instagram, and she seems like a really fun lady, and she did a lot of really great things in GoBusters. So just give her a role that you don't rewrite 8 times.
Yeah, things. But that was on purpose because computers. Never mind.
No, it wasn't because they messed up that show.
Right. Okay, so shall we move on to quick reflexes?
Yes.
Okay. Was it condescending or considerate of Amu to let Marin and Fua have the cake?
I just thought it was sweet. Like, she sees him go back outside and, like, wanting to share this cake with someone he cares about. And he seemed upset about not being able to get it, even if he, you know, Amu says that she wants it, and he's like, oh, well, you were here first, so, you know, whatever. That's how it is. He doesn't put up any kind of fight. He doesn't try to convince her and then back down. So she's just like, you know what? He wants to share this with someone. That's fine. He can have it. She didn't expect to be invited to share it with them. She wasn't looking for anything for herself. She just thought it would be nice to give to them because, you know, he wanted it more and to share with his sister. So she gave it to him.
I think that's fair. I am just always kind of wary about the dark side of treating people differently because of an ailment or disability. It's good to be kind and thoughtful, but putting someone on a pedestal isn't good either. The context and your comments, Sona, do assure me that this is just Amu being, kind and would have acted the same way if, Martin hadn't been in front.
Like, I'm pretty sure if he walked outside to just, like, a woman standing there and said, sorry, I know you wanted it, but, you know, I couldn't get it. I'm pretty sure she would have done the same thing.
Yeah. I think it just is that thing. It's like, ah, okay, I accidentally ruined someone's day. Oh, well, you know, I can fix it, because, you know, it's just cake.
Yeah, she's just like, I just want to eat a thing. I don't even care what it is.
Yeah, it was just, that was the prettiest one.
That one was pretty and bigger than the others.
Like, at least that's how I sort of read her. If she had not done that, that would have been an interesting character thing, too. Maybe not a great one, but it's like, ah, okay. She has a bit more going on, some internality, cool. But as it was, like, I didn't get the, oh, I'm going to take pity thing. Which is good, because, you know, the superiority of taking pity as opposed to just being like, oh, geez, okay, I didn't realize.
Okay, next question. Was Arakawa mocking the Golgamplot with You Thief's original half-baked plan?
I know very little of Golgamplots, unfortunately. I'll get there one day. But his plan overall wasn't terrible. It was actually a lot better than the plan in the Tusk episode. Because, I mean, like, while people individually, especially people who don't have a lot of money, kind of know how to get by without money, actual government structures really do not. I mean, if you take out all of the money, countries kind of fall apart. On, you know, like, a large scale level. He just needed a way of doing it that was quicker than rob every single bank one by one. Like, the idea was solid, even if the method wasn't.
I navigated away from my notes to find out if there's an FDIC in Japan, so I'm really concerned about that now. I don't know why, but I am.
Well, look, I mean, that would be an important bit of context for the episode.
It is. Oh my goodness. There's a website called gaijinpot.com, and it's talking about working in Japan. Oh, there's message boards. Sorry. So I'll share, and then I'll look into it more in a minute. So Gogum would have had a burrowing mutant steal all the liquid assets from Japan's analog to the U.S. Federal Reserve. I liked the plan, but it really did feel like Arakawa was poking fun at U-Thief at minimum, and perhaps schemes like Golgum's. I feel like it was all good fun, and I really enjoyed everyone's reaction to U-Thief. I mean, especially Narya. She's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I love Narya. She's amazing with that. Just, dude, you're making everyone look bad. But I just, you know, I want to do the thing. You need to think through your plots, kid. And if you don't, I'm gonna punch you in the mouth. I don't really have a mouth. I'll tear one open and I'll punch you in.
I will find a mouth.
Because, I mean...
He does have one, though.
Yeah, he does. It's a little... But, you know... Anyway, but it's just a thing where, like, sometimes you gotta throw everything at a wall and see what sticks when it comes to your evil plans. Like, if you don't have infinite power or assets, sometimes you just gotta rely on a dude robbing the banks. Mostly, though, like, I kind of like this guy because he's clearly not cut out for supervillainy. He wants to be a team leader, but he's really, like, more of a middle manager mook. Like, he's one of those dudes over in Ghost who, you know, they have the helmet. They have, you know, they have the transformation that's more than just being the mooks.
Oh, you mean the Ganma Superior.
Arcs. He just, you know, give him some proper direction, and I bet the dude would shine. He's a good mid-level minion, and it's a shame that they're on a... all or nothing thing, because he could be very valuable to their evil institution. You need mid-level guys or your whole organization just breaks down. But I guess they don't really have to manage the Meebas, so...
No,
I mean, they just throw them out. I mean, don't really have a human resources department, so maybe they don't need him.
Guys, I just closed my notes doc entirely.
Well, I mean, you know, you're not gonna top. You know, he's middle manager. So. Observation.
Yeah,
of the century.
You're right. But really, I couldn't find. I'll say this then. In the meantime, I found a bad link to information, and it was just like very straightforward, talking about there is some sort of FDIC, but it doesn't give any details. Because like after the big bubble crash here in like 2008. In the States, it went from $100,000 to $1 million, I think, that you'd be covered if there's a theft or a whatever, a run on the bank. So, anyway, that's where we are here. I don't know what Japan's is.
I did a quick search, and I think there may be something involved with, like, our FDIC.
Oh.
Like,
oh,
I think wow. They may be involved.
Okay.
Because I just saw them come up a lot on... Like, if you just search Japanese FDIC, there's stuff actually from, like, the FDIC website about Japanese banking.
Well, on that Gaijin Pot website I found, someone, like, the person who gave the bad link that I followed said, why would you want to keep a large amount of money in a Japanese bank anyway? And then put, like, ... That's a rhetorical question. So, I don't know if Japanese banks are known to be, like, notoriously not great or something. Whatever.
I mean, I don't know, but if you live there, that's probably where you're going to keep your money.
I would think so.
It would make sense. Going international banking seems like kind of a pain.
Yeah. Alright, well, next question, yes?
Yes.
Okay. This short episode is not turning into a short episode. At least it's going at a good clip. So, last question. What does Genesis' meritocracy say about him and the Death Galleon?
All I know is he's a sadistic butt. And I don't really think there's much more to him than that. And I honestly don't know why everyone listens to him. I don't know what anyone is gaining from this.
He said at one point that he owns them. So, like, I don't know if he created them or what, but... Anyway, maybe...
Yeah, I don't know.
He just has all the money, and it's like, well, I buy you, and if you don't do what I say, I'll kill you because I can, because you're things to me.
I was going to say, maybe he's like Machinima from his faraway galaxy, and these guys were all like Let's Players, and they had to join him to make money, and then just fell into this black hole. Anyway, sorry. Weird.
Well, you know, you're keeping the gamer theme going.
Yeah, I'm trying. So it's interesting to me to think about this kind of contest, because it can be really awful and terrible like this, or it can be overall positive. It kind of reminds me of the, like, Eileen, nobody knows how to, translate her name.
Eileen?
Aquarius. How would you say it, Sana?
I've been calling her either Eileen or Eileen.
Yeah. But she was the Aquarius horoscope from Forza. But, like, she was in a competition with Yuki and a bunch of other people, but they were, like, the finalists or four. They were of four finalists in this contest to see who could become a astronaut in this program. So, anyway, you know, I thought that was overall good natured, and, like, Gamo's not a sadist, I don't think. So, like,
Disagree. He had a lot of fun throwing people into what he thought was a black hole of death.
That's true.
He had a lot of fun with that.
I was going to say, it doesn't really make it any better, but, like, he didn't really revel in suffering, but I think you're right. With the black hole thing, he did.
I think he kind of did. Yeah, I don't think he, in the notes you say he doesn't, like, dwell on it, which I don't think he does. I think once it's done, it's done. But I think he really enjoyed throwing people in that black hole of death.
Sure.
In the lead up, there was a lot of, all right, look, if you mess this up, I'm going to throw you in the black hole.
No, that's right. So.
This is your motivation.
Points well taken.
I don't want to. It's that or the black hole. I'd be a great evil.
That, you know, everyone.
Figurehead for an evil empire. Because, you know, just being able to do that kind of delivery. Well, it's that.
I mean, you know. You know, they then left everyone up there until the novel. I'm not bitter at all. No.
But, like, I think my big thing is just, like, if I can get all, you know, continue being all, like, well, let's be super intellectual and academic about this, blah, blah, blah. Like, it says a lot about how meritocratic structures are created and or imposed, as well as which qualities are deemed worthy of merit, being... You know, it's not an objective quality. It's just, you know, this dude says, you're going to kill in ways that amuse me, and that is the basis of your merit. And that's a really arbitrary thing, you come down to it, which, like, should make him horrible, but at this point just kind of... Anyway, but, you know, in a race to the top where you can only have one winner, I just want to know if any of these people think it's going to be them and not Guinness? Like, are they just... competing to see who lives longer? Like, he's just a punk sadist with delusions of being a games master. Like, he might pull out something really impressive. Ah, but you see, well, you thought I was just sitting around drinking my wine and getting increasingly bored watching all my soldiers get exploded. I was, in actuality. Like, I don't see that happening. Because he's just, you know, he's just a bored Roman emperor. Just, I'm going to sit around and drink my wine and talk about how boring everything is. Like, get down and fight the dudes yourself then, you lazy pizza.
Man, now I'm just thinking about, like, bringing this back to Yu-Gi-Oh! Again. Like, I'm just thinking about Pegasus, where he just orchestrated this whole tournament towards, like, okay, but who gets to fight me? You're not competing to win the tournament, you're competing to lose to me.
Yeah, like, it's... You know, not to give too much of an Undertale spoiler, but, like, it's the thing of what is it that happens when you agree that in this world it's kill or be killed, right? Like, ultimately it's going to get down to, well, there's just you and someone else. One of you has to be the killed, one of you has to be the killer, which one are you? And, like, I just, you know, Guinness just... If he's as powerful as everyone acts like he is, and his power is more than money, I don't, he's just, like, he's got a good design, but he's just a punk. He's just some dude. He's just some jerk.
He's not cool enough to pull it off.
No, he's not. Like, he needs an evil speech. He needs to give a crap. Like, I would like to see him give a crap. That's all.
Like, so, man, he's no Ryo.
Just one single F. I just want him to give one single F about what happens instead of, because his monstrousness is supposed to be that he doesn't care, but if he doesn't care, why do I care? But that's the problem with apathetic villains, isn't it?
I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, like, because Zed didn't really care either, but he had something else that he cared about. Well, the thing is, he had
an aggressively self-destructive way, and it's like, oh, okay, so you're the Mick Jagger, David Bowie gonna self-destruct in front of me while being obscenely attractive? Okay.
But he also had something else that he did care about, and he's like, okay, I don't really care about what all of y'all want. I want to go do this thing, but sir, you can't go do that thing. You can't go do that thing. You will die. No, I'm gonna go do that thing. See you later.
It's the only thing I want to do. It will kill you, sir. I don't care.
I miss the Tokyo villains. They were so good. We were spoiled. We didn't know what we had.
And now you have this. Whereas with Drive, Ghost, it's the reverse, isn't it? Although I guess you knew how terrible.
We are so spoiled with Ghost.
In fairness, like I think the quality dip is nowhere near as steep.
Yeah.
I didn't watch Ninja, so I
can't attest to the quality, but this is still a good show.
Yeah, it's
it just has boring villains.
It's a perfectly decent Sentai. It's a shame that it's an anniversary year, because I feel like anniversary years should be the ones where they pull out stops, but it is a perfectly fine Sentai. It should be just in a white box, simple black lettering, Sentai, with a little barcode on the bottom, and that's it. Maybe an ingredients list on the back, like, that's what this is.
Some nutrition
info. Perfectly
good,
as opposed to Gaim and Drive, where it's just like
what trash bin did you pull these out of?
Yeah, the whole show is, you know, our whole episodes for those 2 years could basically be described as, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
And at one point, I stopped hitting myself.
Yeah.
And then I came back and hit myself for another year.
Here's the thing, though. There are some people who, well, oh man, this is so hard to define. I don't want to be a jerk, but, okay.
I mean, there are people who like those shows. I know a lot of people who like Gaim, and more power to them. I'm glad they do. I'm glad that wasn't a waste of a year for everyone.
Because
it was a waste of a year for me.
Just how is it possible to hold it next to, I don't know, Wizard and Ghost and Black and Double even, and for people who don't know, I don't really like Double, at least the end of it I don't like, specifically Shotaro, but anyway, like, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I don't know, man, but I keep thinking about Drive, and I keep thinking about Sanjo and Hasegawa, and I can't blame them for anything that happened in Drive, especially with the episodes that Hasegawa's been writing in Ghost. Like, I can't blame him for the mess that he made of Drive, because Hasegawa wrote the worst episodes of Drive. So, if it's either of their fault, it's his. But I can't blame him when I look at the other shows he's been on, because he wrote the best episodes of Ghost and the best episodes of Double. And maybe the best episodes of some other things. I don't know.
Okay.
I need to re-look at his resume, but I can't. I have to blame the producer.
I need to know who wrote the Christmas episodes of Kamen Rider Forza, because those were amazing. And
That was someone's Christmas gift to me.
That was with Perseus.
Yes,
or
Perseus. Oh my god.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
that was the one where he finally got to. You know, he finally did the thing he'd been working on the whole time. Like, we never have to fight. We don't have to fight. We are friends.
Oh, so those were Sanjo.
Oh, really? Oh,
I got a pretty... Okay, you know what? I didn't look closely enough at... I cannot believe he wrote those episodes.
All right, well, I gotta take back a lot of the crap I've thrown his way.
I am so sorry, Rico Sanjo. I hated what you did with Shotaro. Hidari, but you done good in Forze. Like, sorry.
He wrote a good handful of good stuff in Forze. Did he write the Jake episodes?
I think
he wrote
Jake
the second
was Hasegawa.
One anyway.
Hold on, those were episodes what?
No, Jake was Hasegawa. I believe.
Okay, so Monster Broadcast. Hold on. Yeah, Hasegawa, Keiichi Hasegawa wrote Monster Broadcast.
See, he wrote the best episodes of Forze too. Like, I can't blame him for the mess he made in Drive, when everything else he writes is gold, except for Excel Returns.
Yeah, I think it's just I think the going with like director and or producer.
Well, I know that Drive had the same producer as Kyoryuger. And,
which I've never heard anything good about.
Kyoryuger is mediocre at best. At least in my opinion, I know there are people that like it, but it is not up there among the best Sentai. And there are a lot of good things in it. It's kind of how I feel about Drive, where, like, there's a lot of really good episodes, and a lot of really good stuff from, like, not Daigo, but like overall it's not great, but the producer like outright said that there wasn't a second girl on the team because like a girl can't fight a dinosaur and win
except for the one who
but
did
apparently yeah
sense.
The two that did
oh yeah
sort
I'm
of.
Sorry you're right
now three actually once you hit the end of the show but it I can't blame the writers when the math is there to say that it's not their fault.
Yeah, I have to take back things I said, and I'm sorry I didn't look more closely at the writers earlier, and, like, thank you, Sono, for suggesting that, because I can't be angry with Sanjo so much.
This is why I've added a credits section to our shows.
I think that was a very smart idea, actually.
Just because I know it wasn't something we did in Drive, and I know that in Drive we just kept blaming Sanjo for everything, and I'm like, but he didn't write this episode.
We're out of time, and unfortunately we're getting too much into writer on this Sentai show, so,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
we should probably save this for tomorrow.
Yeah, probably. Okay, well, Aleph, you're here. Get us out of here, please.
All right. So, for Laser Knees, I'm Aleph.
And I'm Amit.
And I'm Sono.
And we'll see you next time.